good evening. I know it's kind of hot this evening, but a good thing is that I think we're going to have a baptism this evening. And with that in mind, I want to talk to you about baptism and getting into covenant relation to the Lord. I think back to big decisions in my life. And I think, you know, there's some pretty monumental decisions, but if you just ask people outside in the world, hey, what were some of the biggest decisions that you've ever made? You know, ones that might top the list are, well, the mortgage on my house, or getting married, or having kids. But to us as a body of believers, the greatest decision that we will ever make is the decision to become a child of God. Because the decision to become a child of God does not have temporary consequences. That decision stays with us forever. It approaches eternity. And it is a very, very important decision. I want to read with you, and if you'd like to read along, Acts chapter 8, verse 25 and following. I'm going to read to you the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Wonderful place in Scripture to see God's Word being taught to someone, and I'd like to read that. Acts chapter 8, verse 25 and following. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And she and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. And as I quote this, this is Isaiah 53, verse 7. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. I think that's a wonderful story. After teaching the eunuch the truth, why did Philip baptize him? Why is baptism in the New Testament always the result, the immediate result of teaching someone God's Word? Baptism is the desire of God that we be faithfully obedient to Him. So what is special about baptism? Why is it that God doesn't just say, you're saved? Why is it that you have to go down into the water? The word baptize is the word immerse in the Greek. You can wipe the word baptism out of the New Testament and just replace it with the word immerse. That's the English word. Why do you need to be immersed in the water to be in a covenant relationship with God? I think it's okay to ask those kind of questions, don't you? What significance does it have? Well, first of all, I just want to answer that in brief. I think it's the point where faith meets obedience. Where faith meets obedience. I want to talk briefly about what happens at baptism so we're on the same page, so we understand. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says that everyone, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one man or woman upon the face of this earth who has not sinned. That's all of us. We've all come up short. No one's reached the measure. We've all fallen short. And according to Isaiah 59 and 1 and 2, it says that sin or that iniquity has separated us from God. Sin, you see, separates God and man. Adam in the garden and Eve, they chose to sin. And what was the result of that? God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, right? They were removed from God's presence. Sin separated God and man. The whole entire Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, are about, what's it about? There's one more, reconciliation. The whole Bible talks about the reconciliation of God and man. Them being able to come back together, but God and man couldn't come back together until that sin was taken care of, until that sin was paid for. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, His blood that flowed from His veins offered the payment for sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The precious blood of our Lord offered the payment for the sins that we've committed. And it's up to us, it's up to all of us that are already Christians, we've already made this decision, but it's up to everyone in the world to accept that payment or reject that payment. You have a choice, you do one or the other. And when you're baptized, you're accepting the payment of the blood of Jesus. At baptism, you think about Acts chapter 2, when the church was first started and Peter was preaching to the crowd at Pentecost. The same crowd who was hollering, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Now he's preaching to them. And he's preaching this gospel sermon. Must have been a dandy. They all said, "Hey, we're guilty. We're cut to the heart. What do we need to do, Peter?" And what does Peter say? Peter says, "You repent." That is, you change direction and you be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. You be baptized for the remission or for the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin only comes through the blood of Jesus. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, when Paul is saying that as many as you have been baptized have been clothed with Christ, if you're going to get clothed with anything from Christ that's going to help you, what's it going to be? The blood of Jesus. At baptism, you enter into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and you're clothed with His blood. entering into that death, burial, and the resurrection. If you read Romans chapter 6, you can't miss it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 says that at baptism, you are united with Christ. Did you catch that? At baptism. Now, if I'm united with you at Hy-Vee, where do I have to go to be united with you? Can I go to Dave's Famous Bar and Grill down here, or whatever that place is? Famous Dave's, that's what it's called. I got that one off. Can I be united down there with you? No, because why? You're at Hy-Vee, right? We are united with Christ at baptism. Church, don't mistake it. You can't unite with Christ in anywhere except the waters of baptism. Because it's in the waters of baptism that you have forgiveness of sin. Paul goes on in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, as he's talking to the Jews that were hostile to him in Jerusalem, he says, arise and be baptized and what? Wash away your sins. Is it the water? If you go down into the water, do we put some special chemicals in the baptistry that take the dirt off? No. Is there anything special about the water? It's the faithful obedience that you put in God. And God goes on to tell us that in 1 Peter 3:21 when he likens Noah and that whole thing to baptism that now saves you. He says, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. Again, it's the point of faithful obedience. Colossians chapter 2 likens baptism to circumcision. Well, circumcision was the method of entry into covenant relationship for people under the old covenant, and it was a sign and a seal of righteousness for Abraham, right? So how are we going to enter into a covenant relationship with God? Some people in the world will say, all you got to do is believe. Believe in the Lord and you're saved. Matter of fact, here's a good one. Say the sinner's prayer with me. I don't read a sinner's prayer in the Bible, not the one they quote on TV. Just believe in the Lord and you will be saved. They pull one verse out and take it out of context. Believing in the Lord's important, isn't it? You better believe it. But you can't stop there. Unless you meet the Lord in the watery grave of baptism, that's referred to as the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel that now saves you, Paul calls the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Unless you go there, you've not been obedient. God calls us to be obedient. Unless you're baptized, you haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says to the same people who were cut to the heart, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of what? Of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be baptized. I'm going to go down to Hy-Vee and see if I can meet the Lord there. How's that going to work? Let me ask you this. You remember Nahum, Naaman. Thank you. Man, wives are great. Thank you. Naaman had what? Skin disease. What? Leprosy. He had leprosy. And he was told to go down and to dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Right? What if he just said, I believe. I'm not going to go dip, but I believe. Would he have been cured? At what point was he cured? At what point was his affliction removed? When he come up out of the water the 7th time, right? Not before. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us, church, not to approach Him from our own reasoning. He does not want us to approach Him from our own thoughts. Hey, if I had to choose my way of approaching God, It would include famous days. You're supposed to laugh. You know, I could come up with all kinds of stuff. I don't really see why I got to go dip myself in the water. I don't understand all of that, but you know what? I don't have to, because God says to do it. Isn't that right, church? Reading through Romans 6, we understand that when we're buried with Christ, the old is passed away and the new has come. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says that I am crucified with Christ. You know the song. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know the song. I'll stop there so everybody don't leave. When we're baptized, we deny ourselves. That's a point of transition. When a person comes up out of the watery grave of baptism, they are no longer themselves. They belong to the Lord. All of us that are Christians, we know that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 is the Great Commission. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is about to go up to heaven? His time on earth is almost over. And he tells his disciples, here's what I want you to do. He says this, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. That is, make people followers of Jesus. How do you do that? Baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know the rest of the verse. Here's how you make disciples of Jesus. You baptize them and then you teach them to observe all things whatsoever that have been commanded. Interesting. You baptize them, that verse says, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You do a Greek study, you know what into the name of means? Direct English translation, into the possession of. Now I want to ask you how you become in covenant relationship with God outside of being His possession. Outside of having your sins washed away. Outside of being united with Christ. Outside of receiving the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Our God says, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. I want you to come in contact with the saving blood of Jesus. I want your faith to meet your action. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I'm glad that Paul wrote these words. He says, in Him, that is Jesus, we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of His grace. Praise be to God that He made reconciliation back to Him possible. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, the beauty of this is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve this. It's not from our own efforts. Some people think of baptism as a work and they classify it in the efforts category. God doesn't do that. God says, hey, it's a point of faithful obedience. It goes along with the whole idea, the whole concept of the book of Romans. That's why Paul addresses it in chapter 6. So to any here this evening who would consider putting the Lord on in baptism, it's the most important step you'll ever make in your life. There will be nothing, no other decision you'll make that will take you into eternity and affect you forever than the decision to be obedient to God. Church, I hope this has been a reminder for you. I think a lot of us know this, but you know, sometimes we just don't say it because we just think everybody knows it. Well, do we put wants to respond, come on in, the water's fine.